Chapter 27. Reverence towards the sanctity of the Muslims. Allah the Exalted says, "And whosoever honors the sacred things of Allah, then that is better for him with his Rabb." 22:30. "And whosoever honors the symbols of Allah, then it is truly from the piety of the heart." 22:32. "And lower your wing for the believers, be courteous to the fellow believers." 15:88. "If anyone killed a person not in retaliation of murder, and to spread mischief in the land, it would be as if he killed all mankind, and if anyone saved a life, it would be as if he saved the life of all mankind." 5:32. 222. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, 'The relationship of the believer with another believer is like the bricks of a building. Each strengthens the other.' He, peace be upon him, illustrated this by interlacing the fingers of both of his hands." Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. This hadith enjoins unity in the Muslim community, each member of which is like a brick, which, when they are all combined, lend strength to each other. Similarly, Muslims are like hands and arms, which physically joined together are bound to cooperate with one another. 223. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, 'Whoever enters our mosque or passes through our market with arrows with him, he should hold them by their heads, lest it should injure any of the Muslims.'" Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. Islam has made a forceful and elaborate arrangement for the security of the lives of the Muslims, but the abundance of arms and ammunition has vitiated this arrangement. Its senseless use has resulted in killing at large scale. It is used, even on happy occasions, to spread terror. Sometimes firing in the air for jubilation costs some precious lives. Similarly, display of fireworks on festivities is a cause of great nuisance for the people living in that locality. May Allah grant us guidance to adhere to His injunctions in every walk of life. 224. Numan bin Bashir radiallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, 'The believers in their mutual kindness, compassion, and sympathy are just like one body. When one of the limbs suffers, the whole body responds to it with wakefulness and fever.'" Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. This hadith has the same purport which is mentioned in the previous hadith. It says that Muslims are akin to a living person. When he feels pain in one of his eyes, for example, his entire body feels it. When he suffers from a headache, he feels its pain throughout his body. 225. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, "The Prophet, peace be upon him, kissed his grandson Al-Hasan bin Ali radiallahu anhu in the presence of Al-Akra bin Habis. Thereupon he remarked, 'I have 10 children and I have never kissed any one of them.' Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, looked at him and said, 'He who does not show mercy to others will not be shown mercy.'" Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. To kiss children with kindness and affection is not only permissible, but also a means of attaining Allah's mercy. 226. Aisha radiallahu anha reported, "Some Bedouins came to the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and asked, 'Do you kiss your children?' He said, 'Yes.' They then said, 'By Allah, we do not kiss them.' The Prophet, peace be upon him, replied, 'I cannot help you if Allah has snatched kindness from your hearts.'" Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. Showing kindness and affection to children is a sign of that mercy and compassion with which Allah endows mankind. 227. Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, 'He who is not merciful to people, Allah will not be merciful to him.'" Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. Kind treatment to Allah's creatures is very much liked by Allah. Even animals and birds are included in this category. Kind treatment with them makes a person eligible to the mercy of Allah. Decent behavior with people has been specifically mentioned in this hadith, although all creatures are covered by it. 228. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, 'When one of you leads the salat, he should not prolong it because the congregation includes those who are feeble, ill, or old.' One version adds, 'Those who have to attend to work. While offering prayers alone, you may pray as long as you like.'" Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. One who leads the congregational prayer is enjoined to shorten the prayer in consideration of those who pray behind him. Shortening of prayer here means that the surah of the Quran recited by him in the prayer should not be very long. This does not mean, however, that the postures of salat, such as standing, bowing, prostration, and sitting, should not be done properly, as it is taken to mean by Muslims in general. Although it is a sunnah about which the noble prophet, peace be upon him, is reported to have said, "Pray as you see me praying." Thus, it is essential to perform salat properly.
229. Aisha radiallahu anha reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, would sometimes abstain from doing something he wished to do, lest others should follow him and it might become obligatory upon them." Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. This hadith indicates the affection which the Prophet, peace be upon him, had for his followers. In spite of his fervent desire, he would sometime deliberately leave voluntary prayer, lest it became obligatory upon the Muslims. 230. Aisha radiallahu anha reported, "The Prophet, peace be upon him, prohibited his companions out of mercy for them from observing continuous fasting without a break. They said, 'But you observe fast continuously.' He replied, 'I am not like you. I spend the night while my Rabb provides me with food and drink.'" Al-Bukhari and Muslim. This means that Allah has bestowed upon him the power of endurance like that of a person who eats and drinks. Commentary. The words, "I am not like you," should not be taken to mean here, "I am not a human like you." What they really mean is that no one else has that special contact with Allah which he has. On account of this quality, which was special to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, it is prohibited to keep fast continuously. In fact, it is not only prohibited, but unlawful. In such cases, it is obligatory for Muslims to follow him faithfully. 231. Abu Qatada al-Harith bin Ribi, radiallahu anhu, reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, 'I stand up to lead salat with the intention of prolonging it. Then I hear the crying of an infant and I shorten the salat, lest I should make it burdensome for his mother.'" Al-Bukhari. Commentary. In this hadith, brevity of prayers stands for recitation of short surah of the noble Quran and prescribed congregational prayers. The Sahih Muslim has elucidated this by saying that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, would recite short surahs on hearing the crying of a baby. In short, this hadith mentions that affection which he had for his followers. Its importance can be judged by the fact that he made a demonstration of it even in the prescribed prayers. 232. Jandab bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, 'When anyone offers the Fajr, dawn prayer, in congregation, he is in the protection of Allah. So let not Allah call him to account, withdrawing in any respect his protection, because he will get hold of him and throw him down on his face in the hellfire.'" Muslim. Commentary. This hadith tells us that the Fajr prayer is in the nature of an agreement between Allah and his slave, Muslim. It tells us that he would not all day long depart from the way of Allah, as he has not done by performing his Fajr prayer. He will not only perform all the other prescribed prayers, but would also do nothing which will displease Allah. A Muslim who does not care to adhere to this agreement and thereby shows disobedience of Allah will be answerable to him for it on the day of resurrection. 233. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, 'A Muslim is a brother of another Muslim, so he should not oppress him, nor should he hand him over to his Satan or to his self which is inclined to evil. Whoever fulfills the needs of his brother, Allah will fulfill his needs. Whoever removes the troubles of his brother, Allah will remove one of his troubles on the day of resurrection. And whoever covers up the fault of a Muslim, Allah will cover up his fault on the day of resurrection.'" Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. This hadith is extremely important for the reason that it advises Muslims to live like family members. It says that one does not like to subject one's own son, brother, etc. to suppression, nor leaves him helpless in trouble, but helps him when he is in need of it, endeavors to relieve him of hardship, and admonishes him when he does anything wrong. Almighty Allah is pleased with such behavior and gives him best reward for it in this world and the next. 234. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, a Muslim is a brother to a Muslim. He should neither deceive him, nor lie to him, nor leave him without assistance. Everything belonging to a Muslim is inviolable for a Muslim, his honor, his blood, and property. Piety is here, and he pointed out to his chest thrice. It is enough for a Muslim to commit evil by despising his Muslim brother. At-Tirmidhi. Commentary. This hadith deals with the subject discussed in the preceding one. In fact, it elucidates the points raised here. Now, the heart is one thing which no one can check out. Allah alone knows about it. The case of those who openly lead a sinful and impious life is, of course, quite different. To show hatred and disgust against such people is warranted by faith. 235. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, do not envy one another. Do not inflate prices by overbidding against one another. Do not hate one another. Do not harbor malice against one another. And do not enter into commercial transaction when others have entered into that transaction. But be you, O slaves of Allah, as brothers. A Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. He neither oppresses him, nor does he look down upon him, nor does he humiliate him. Piety is here, and he pointed to his chest three times. It is enough evil for a Muslim to hold his brother Muslim in contempt. All things of a Muslim are inviolable for his brother in faith, his blood, his property, and his honor. Muslim. Commentary. This hadith elaborates the importance of mutual brotherhood and goodwill among the Muslims. They're warned against jealousy, which is a very malicious moral disease. One who suffers from it does not like to see others in happy circumstances and wants that they're deprived of whatever good they have. This hadith also prohibits Muslims from mutual hatred, enmity, and indifference to others because all such things go against the concept of Islamic fraternity. The hadith also warns Muslims against najash, false bidding to raise the price in an auction, as it is clear deception and fraud is opposed to goodwill for others. While Muslims are required to express for each other goodwill, not ill will. This hadith also prohibits making one bargain over the others because it generates malice and enmity. 262. Anas radiallahu anhu reported, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, no one of you shall become a true believer until he desires for his brother what he desires for himself. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. This hadith deals more comprehensively with the subject discussed above. When a Muslim likes the same thing for another Muslim, which he does for himself, then he will be obviously expressing goodwill to his fellow Muslims. When Muslims adopt this attitude at the community level, no Muslim will be an enemy of the other. In fact, each Muslim would then be a well-wisher and helper of other Muslims. May Allah enable us to adopt this attitude. 237. Anas radiallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, help your brother, whether he is an oppressor or is oppressed. A man inquired, O Messenger of Allah, I help him when he is oppressed, but how can I help him when he is an oppressor? He, peace be upon him, said, you can keep him from committing oppression. That will be your help to him. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. This hadith contains a very comprehensive injunction to eliminate disturbance and tyranny in the Muslim society. It not only ordains helping the oppressed, but also encourages people endowed with moral courage to stop the oppressor's oppression. Doing so requires great courage and boldness, but Muslims would be able to do full justice to their duty of wishing well to their fellow Muslims when they develop the moral courage to stop the oppressor from tyranny, or at least protest against it verbally. 238. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, a believer owes another believer five rights: responding to greetings, visiting him in illness, following his funeral, accepting his invitation, and saying, Yarhamkumullah, may Allah have mercy on you, when he says, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, after sneezing. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Muslim's narration is, there are six rights of a Muslim upon a Muslim. When you meet him, greet him. When he invites you, respond to him. When he seeks counsel, give him advice. When he sneezes and praises Allah, say to him, may Allah have mercy on you. Yarhamkum Allah. When he is sick, visit him. And when he dies, follow his funeral. Commentary. The bond of brotherhood among the Muslims has been further strengthened by the list in this hadith about the rights of Muslims on one another. 239. Al-Bara bin Azib radiyallahu anhu reported, the Prophet, peace be upon him, commanded us to observe seven things and forbade us seven. He ordered us to visit the sick, to follow funeral processions, to respond to a sneezer with Yarhamkumullah, may Allah have mercy on you, when he says, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, to help the oppressed and to help others to fulfill their oaths, to accept invitation and to promote greeting. He forbade us to wear gold rings, to drink in silver utensils, to use mayatir, silk carpets placed on saddles, to wear al-kasi, a kind of silk cloth, to wear fine silk brocade. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. To materialize the pledge means that if a person relies on you and says that by Allah you must do such and such a thing, then you should not let him down. You should do that work and fulfill his pledge. But this is subject to the condition that the work in question is not unlawful. It is not only permissible, but also comes in the list of high moral values.